This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
Cray Yark Data's Eureka.
AMD wades into SeaMicro acquisition. Hello, everybody, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for March 2nd, 2012. Available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined once again by Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research. Hey, good morning, Addison.
Morning, Michael. Good to be back. Appreciated the week off last week.
Yeah, nice ski trip for you, and you're fresh to go for a new week. Lots of news
all
this
set.
Week.
Yeah, well, and you gave me a tongue twister for the tagline to come back. I was all well rested. What do we call it when Cray's New York Data Division introduces a graph computer for big data?
Yeah, Eureka. Yeah, we got a lot of acronyms and strange branding going on this week. But yeah, that was a surprise story. Cray didn't give anybody a heads up on that. They announced this Eureka big data appliance at the Strata Data Conference in Silicon Valley there.
Yeah, the Strata Conference.
Strata Conference, right. And this is on Wednesday. And we ended up talking to them, and it's a very interesting architecture.
Right. It's basically under the covers, the Cray XMT2. It's a multi-threading architecture. But the story with it is that it's a graph appliance for doing graph database analysis for a wide range of big data analytics types of applications, especially relationship analytics. If you're going to be looking at, well, a lot of the things that are quite similar to what IBM Watson was doing, really.
Right. Now, they've got a totally different approach at Cray. They're emphasizing the graph analytics. They're using graph data structures instead of like typical, you know, sort of relational database type things, columns and rows, and doing it all sort of in this monolithic architecture. Like you said, it's the XMT2 technology, the ThreadStorm processor, the shared memory, the whole supercomputing technology that they were selling or proffering under their professional services over the past few years. So it's a very unique sort of architecture, but they're using basically industry standard software inside of it. And so they're trying to bring in all sorts of maybe legacy applications or applications that can be built with standard APIs.
Right. And what's really notable about the architecture from this standpoint is that it has a large amount of shared memory. You're going to be able to put more of the data into memory for exploring those relationships. The whole point of a graph database is the point-to-point relationships that are being analyzed. Then the fact that it's a multi-threading processor, these tend to be fairly parallel applications where you can process multiple threads at the same time without creating a cache miss.
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of their whole performance story here. Everything goes into memory. You do all the processing on this big graph structure while it's in memory, so you don't have to slice it up like you would do on a Hadoop cluster setup where you're slicing the data and the queries across, you know, maybe hundreds or thousands of servers.
Right.
Everything's sort of in this one box, and it's very fast. At least that's what they're saying. They're building up their proof points as we speak.
Well, and when we were first analyzing Cray's ability to move into this space with the Yark Data Division, we had said that we believed Cray had technology that could be quickly applied to this space. So moving the XMT architecture into this, I think it makes a lot of sense in that case. There will be a lot of software work that needs to be done to get people to be able to leverage this architecture for their applications.
Right. I mean, they're using sort of this industry standard stack, but I think they have plans to actually build integrated appliances with specific verticals, so build sort of applications on top of the platform and offer that as sort of an integrated offering. So they've got, you know, all the usual suspects. They've got life sciences, finance, supply chain, intelligence, social networking, and so on.
Right.
And it sounds like their long-range plans are to build industry-specific appliances for those verticals.
Well, yeah, what you have here is Cray taking a traditional supercomputing architecture that did similar types of applications in government security. Let's say you're trying to, you know, identify persons of interest on a national security scale. That's a question of identifying relationships in communications, in relationships with other people, in movement, and managing those real-time relationship analytics to create a field of possible targets. It's not so different from the notion of analyzing someone's browsing history or a population's browsing history in order to define targets for targeted advertisements.
Right, exactly. And the application you just described is actually their first customer. They've got this government agency that bought one of these systems, and they're looking for, like you said, persons of interest using profiles and activities sort of in a real-time basis, and they're searching out these people with this structure. And yeah, it's not like this is really even a new area for Cray. I mean, they've been hooked into these sort of three-letter agencies for a while, I think probably with, you know, some of the same technology before and other technologies. So some of these, I mean, a lot of the people they're initially sold to are sort of their Cray customer base.
Well, yeah, if there's anything that concerns me here, that's it. Well, that and the branding, I think.
It's
the arbitrarily capitalized Eureka system from Cray's Yark Data Division is a hopelessly weighted down with arbitrary brands kind of thing. But, you know, beyond that, what we discussed before with Yark Data is whether Cray has a sales channel that will be able to bring this into non-traditional Cray customers, or at least parts of accounts that they wouldn't have been able to reach otherwise. And a lot of their early adopters are going to be on the traditional HPC side. So we've got to see to what extent they can help Cray grow by bringing in this into new areas.
Sure. But, you know, you had to assume they were going to bring in their current customer base. I mean, to be fair, I mean, these are non-floating point applications across all these all these brands. I mean, there's the Mayo Clinic they brought in, Swiss Supercomputing Center, and the government agency, and a couple others. But they already had relationships with these organizations. But these are not typical HPC, you know, flops applications. So yeah, they've got to get these proof points, and then, like you said, build up a story and a sales channel to get it out to the wider audience, because they are targeting, you know, the business community that are outside of the technical computing space.
But they're still on a technical computing message. I mean, all of this stuff about graph analysis and multi-threading is a very computer science heavy message, whether it applies or not, and it does, right? Graph databases are absolutely applicable to big data, but this is really the first time I've seen any company talking about graph analysis in big data. It's just not the language that enterprises are using here.
Right, it is very computer science-y, that's for sure. But I think this is what Cray's about. But also, I think they've done this on purpose. They're trying to carve out their niche as sort of the experts, or the computer scientists in the room for this sort of high-end, deep analysis. They don't want to compete head-to-head with Hadoop clusters. That's a totally different architecture and sort of a different application set. They want to do this sort of predictive analysis in real time with these very large scale databases. So they're trying to carve out this niche. So they do want to use some different terminology, and they want to establish themselves as the experts in this area.
Yeah, I get that. But if they wanted to establish themselves as the computer science experts, I don't know why they were trying to move away from the Cray brand to begin with.
Well, yeah, I got to agree with you there. I think that that's sort of a strange thing. They've got this Yark Data Division. But, you know, they want to establish that on their own. But yeah, there's a lot of branding here to kind of wade through. But it's a very compelling technology. And I think given half a chance, they've got a good shot at actually doing what they want to do, expand into businesses outside of their HPC realm.
I'll stand by what I said before. I think Cray's going to put out some interesting products here, and I don't think technology is the potential problem.
So speaking of waiting, we saw the other news that came out this week. AMD looks like it's going to acquire SeaMicro, this micro server organization or business that has been basically dealing with Intel for their chip supplier, and they went out and bought them.
Yeah, well, and this is an interesting move because the second time we've seen the chip provider go out and acquire somebody who's got system interconnects, really. C-Micro's got this architecture that AMD says is going to apply to the high-end server space.
Right, they've got this custom ASIC, which is sort of the secret sauce to the C-Micro microserver technology. They've got this ASIC that does this interconnect, the system network fabric that brings a lot of, you know, less powerful chips into this microserver model. And I think AMD basically bought it for that. They want to do the same thing on their chips. They want to basically integrate that IP onto their chips or onto their chipsets and create a sort of a unique product set with this very fast, high-performance network.
Yeah, and this is similar to what we were theorizing with regards to Intel's acquisition of the InfiniBand business from QLogic. To what extent do they want to integrate some of that technology on chip?
Right, exactly. It's the same type of thing. I think, right, we'll be seeing Intel integrating the QLogic network on chip at some point, or at least on a chipset, probably on chip. So this might have been a sort of reaction to that. I don't think, from what I've read and from what AMD's saying, they don't really want to be in the server business, even the microserver business. So it sounds like they'll keep the C-Micro customers happy, at least for the time being, but it doesn't sound like they have long-range plans to keep a server business active under the company umbrella.
Right. I don't see either Intel or AMD moving into becoming a server provider, just because it would set up an antagonistic relationship between them and their largest customers. They're right. Better off continuing to be a component provider. I don't think that will change, but they might integrate more of the technologies internally. Now, the exception to that would be if Intel or, gosh, I suppose we now have to consider the possibility of AMD wants to be the prime on a supercomputing bid, particularly an exascale bid. If Intel, a la ASCII Red, wanted to be the prime vendor on an exascale bid, having QLogic isn't a piece of that puzzle, I suppose we now have to consider whether AMD would be capable of doing the same thing.
Yeah, well, the technology that they're buying it's a little different. I mean, they're not going to probably be able to bid a microserver technology for exascale, at least with the current sets of technologies that represents. But yeah, that's a possibility too. But I really don't think AMD is at all interested in the server business. I think this is a pure technology play, and that's what it'll end up being.
Yeah, what do you suppose it means for the future of hypertransport?
I think that's probably the death knell for hypertransport. I think this is the thing that's going to replace it.
Yeah, could be. Well, that's something we'll have to keep our eye on.
Yeah, I mean, that's a technology a lot of people have adopted, but it's an open standard, but maybe they'll try to establish this as another sort of open standard and get the same sort of industry acceptance of it. I mean, the nice thing about the C-Micro IP is it connects to PCIe, so everything that can sort of connect to that standard has sort of a better chance of working into well, I mean, hypertransport did as well, but this one I think is going to get potentially can get more widespread acceptance than maybe hypertransport did.
Well, and it could be an evolution of hypertransport as well. You take some elements of both technologies to move them forward.
True, that's true as well. Okay, well, I think that'll wrap it up for this week. Some interesting news, certainly, and I think from what I see, it's going to start to heat up a little bit. We have some news coming in next week we know about, as well as some upcoming conferences that are going to start to gear up. So
that's like right. There's potentially big announcements coming Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I've heard about that. So we'll talk about that next week, I'm sure, and we'll do it then.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.